Karen, thank you so much for being willing to share today. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm Karen. I was brought up in Willowfield Parish, and then about the age of 16 went away from church for a number of years, and I was in my 30s then when I got saved and came back to Willowfield. At that time, it was way before Alpha, that were 30 years ago. Had a nurture group for new Christians for 6 weeks, which turned into 2 years, and just went on.
Life groups and things like that?
Yeah, so involved in things like that, prayer ministry, life groups, helping with Alpha, and things like that over the years.
Healing on the streets as well?
Healing on the streets for a number of years. We used to do that on a Saturday morning on the Craigie Road, just praying for people that were going past, that went on for,
So, about 2 years ago, you started something new. Tell us what that is, and what I'd love to ask you to share is what was the journey like towards making the decision to offer yourself for this particular ministry? So tell us what it is, and then tell us about the journey towards it.
Okay, it's sports chaplaincy. So I'm now chaplain to Glentoran ladies football team. So how that came about was I was retiring 2 years ago at the end of January 24, and leading up to that, when I put my notice in October, the end of October, I knew that I wanted to get involved in different things in the church, but I wanted I just kept praying about something to open up for me once I retired, and I didn't want something just straight away because I wanted a few months of just enjoying retirement. So I kept praying about something to open up, and I had no idea what that would be, and if anybody had told me it was football, I would have just it was nowhere on my radar. I'd never had been to a football match, I'd never any interest in football. So one day, it was about May time, in 24, and somebody was speaking from Linfield Academy at our church at a sports day, it was then. So they were speaking about sports chaplaincy and about the mission field that was out there, and that was one thing that was on my heart, that the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few. And so he was talking about the harvest field that's out there amongst the sports, any kind of sports, golf, boxing, cricket, whatever. So that sort of triggered something in me, and I thought, well, maybe that's something that I could do and something that I could get involved in. And so I spoke to John Mina after, and he introduced me then to Philip Mitchell, who at that time led it up, and it went on from there.
So football wasn't on your radar screen, and then suddenly you feel yourself stirred around the whole area of sports chaplaincy, and they suggested Glentoran women's football team.
Yeah, there was a number, because there's plenty of opportunities for sports chaplaincy, and then there was sort of they'd give me a list, and I just didn't know where to go. It went down to a few that were sort of local, and then they suggested Glentoran, and it went from there.
And what does that look like in practice? What does it mean to be the chaplain there?
Well, it's just really going down and showing your support. So the first day that I went, I was terrified, because being introduced to the team, Philip would take me down and introduce me to the team, as they were training. They train at Icefield Boys, and then I was to introduce myself to them, and then after that he said, right, okay, Karen, I'll see you in a couple of weeks then. And I thought, what, I have to stay here? What am I going to do? But it's just really getting alongside them. They're training, they really put their heart and soul into the training. They come from all over, as far as Coleraine or Newry Direction and all over. And so it's just really going down, showing your support. They train on a Monday and a Wednesday night, getting to know the girls. So the first few months especially were hard, because you try to speak to somebody different each week, and then you go back the next week and they all look the same, and I thought, I don't know who I was speaking to. So But yeah, when you, once you get over that, so it took me that their season is different from the boys. So their season starts about pre-season February, start their matches then about April, and then go through to October.
Okay, so this is your busy season?
So this is the busy season then, yeah. So it's really just showing your support, getting to know the girls, getting to speak to them on the sidelines. And also, I think the church over the years, what I've learned from the church is sort of like put into practice a bit there, like giveaways that the church would do on, and out onto the street. I would do sometimes wee things like that. Like recently I bought them all roses. So I'd give them a rose, put a wee sticker on it with like, you know, God is love and things like that or whatever. And just showing them wee acts of kindness. And it might involve like at December, before December there, one of the girls in last year's season, her father had died very suddenly and went down to the house then. Didn't get to the funeral, didn't know about it until just the day before the funeral. So after Christmas I was able to go down to the house in Oma, and you're just sort of showing your support that way. One of the coaches, her grandmother had died, so I was able to go down to the house then with their mother after the funeral, things like that, sort of like just looking for opportunities and just looking for those opportunities, just showing love to them. And again, it's that what you were speaking about today, abiding in Christ. And I always pray that I never go on my own strength, but in Christ, because it's a slow burner. It's a slow burner. You just keep turning up. I go to their matches. I go to their away matches as I can, as well. And they do sort of appreciate. They're a great team, and they've been very open to me. They have. Now and again, they'll comment on you being there. So it's fantastic. And trusting that God has a bigger plan.
And that you've been doing that now, what, 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah, I'll be coming up to 2 years. So about July I started,
Thank you so much. Can we say thank you to Karen?
Thank you.
So we have up until 12:30, isn't that right? Around about 12:30. Fantastic. So what I would love us to do before we finish at 12:30 is just to have an opportunity to be prayed for, to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be doing that towards the end. We're doing that because last night we were talking about the Father. This morning, earlier, we were talking about the Son. Now, for the next sort of 20 minutes or so, we're going to be thinking about the Holy Spirit, the Father who holds us, the Son who lives in us, the Holy Spirit who works through us and around us. So that's where we're going over the next sort of 40 minutes or so. But here's what I'd love you to do, and I would like you to do this again with somebody if you can. Could I have the slide that says uses the word space? Just keep going. I think is the Bible passage next? What comes next? Can you just scroll through the Yeah, brilliant. That's what I want there. Fantastic. Okay, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the space in which you live, okay? And that could be family, work, leisure, you name it. Whatever it is. Where are the spaces in which you physically live and live out your life? And I want you to think particularly about the people in those spaces, the problems that you face, but also the potential as well. Okay, so the space is where you live. And I'd love you to take sort of 2 or 3 minutes and share with each other what are the spaces in which you live, and reflect particularly about the people who are there, the problems you face, and the potential that you see there. Okay, so you've got 2 or 3 minutes to do that, and then I'll bring you back. So have a go with that. Go, off you go. Are you happy to read the Bible passage?
Yes.
Okay, so it's that. So it's quite a long one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, if you would, yeah, yeah. Is there a parade? Is there a parade? For a moment. I just need, yeah, thank you. Okay, so what I'd love you to do is to hold that, to hold that conversation, the things that you've been chatting about. To hold in your mind the spaces where you live, the people that you encounter, the problems that you face, and the potential that there is in those various spaces. Because over the next sort of 20 minutes or 15, 20 minutes or so, we're going to think about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks about the Father to whom we belong. He talks about himself indwelling in us. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, 16 is Trinitarian through and through. And when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he not only talks about the Holy Spirit that's in us, but where I want to stress over the next 20 minutes or so, is the Holy Spirit that we dare to believe works through us and actually is at work around us, independent of us. That the Holy Spirit not only works through us, but is actually at work, independent of us, in the spaces in which we live, among the people that we work with, in the problems that we face, and there, perhaps raising in our minds and hearts potential for the kingdom coming in those spaces, which is why I asked Karen to speak today. Karen, who has been involved in ministry at Willowfield for 30 years in so many, many different ways, maybe having retired, could have thought to yourself, it's time to put my feet up, or it's time for somebody else to serve. But there, the Lord has led Karen into a new space and a new phase of ministry where the Holy Spirit is at work. And so that's, I guess, where I want us to go to. So what we're going to do now, Yvonne's going to come and read for us again from Scripture. And rather than read one single passage, she's going to take elements of chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. So again, this will appear on the overhead screen. It may well be worthwhile just simply looking at the screen because it is all over those three chapters. So if you'd like to come, Yvonne, that would be great. Oh, you need a microphone. Sorry. There you go.
I can hear. The first one is John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And chapter 14, verse 25 says this: These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And chapter 16, verse 4. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You know the way when we were younger, we used to do things like Bible quizzes? Yeah, is that familiar with you? You used to get sort of pencils and rubbers and sharpeners. Well, this is a liturgical quiz, okay? Because we're in the Church of Ireland, so I'm just going to test you on your liturgy. Would that be okay? Nigel's worrying right now, he's sweating. Never ever do this at Willowfield because they'll say, what's liturgy? So I'm going to say a phrase, and then you're going to give me the response, okay? Are you ready? The Lord is here. Mate. I am so well impressed. If this was Willowfield, I'd be going, the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. that's a declaration that we make every time we come to communion. Now think about that for the moment. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. We are declaring a truth that the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And that is a truth because that's what Jesus promised in the upper room and indeed on the journey to Gethsemane. Jesus repeatedly keeps coming back with his disciples to the fact that he will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus has told them that he is leaving them. And that leaving is, yes, him going to the cross, but that leaving is also the ascension. Jesus is leaving them. They are going to be without the physical reality of Jesus. They've been with Jesus, the physical embodiment of God, with them for 3 years, but now Jesus is leaving, and instead he is going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And so when we say the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us, we are reflecting on that promise that Jesus made to the 12, but which he makes to us. He has left us the Holy Spirit. And so all Anglicans are Pentecostals. Can I have an amen? Oh dear. So we all believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. There's that beautiful moment during confirmation service where just before the bishop confirms candidates, he calls on the Holy Spirit to come. And there's this beautiful moment of silence where we wait upon him. And the expectation is that he will come. He will come. I love that ancient prayer. It's an ancient prayer of the church. Three words, come, Holy Spirit. And I am convinced that when we pray that ancient prayer, he comes. And we wait upon him to move and to move among us. And so as we think about growing in confidence, and that confidence is built up as we hold on to that truth that we belong to the Father, that we are his family, we are his children, we're not his guests, we belong to him, that as our confidence grows, as we believe that, and as our confidence grows, as we take seriously that Jesus truly dwells within us, our confidence also grows as we grasp hold of the truth that the Holy Spirit is at work through us and that he's at work around us. Do you believe that? That's two. And to be honest with you, I sometimes struggle to believe that. I sometimes struggle to believe it because of my failure, because of actually confidence in the fact, will the Father really want to use me? Am I of any kingdom use? And the answer to those questions is yes. And the Father wants us to grow in confidence that he is at work in the world by his Spirit and that he will use us. So three things to take away with you. A, that the Holy Spirit is here. B, is that the Holy Spirit is at work through you. Sorry, is at work around us, and that he is at work through us. And I just want to just land on those for a moment. We've already talked about the Holy Spirit being here. We believe that. Jesus has taught us that. We believe that that is the case. He is at work around us. He is at work around us. One of the things that Jesus says in those passages that Yvonne read for us was the fact that the purpose of the Spirit coming was to glorify Jesus, was to make Jesus known. I want to tell you about, if I may, about two or three people and to share with them some of their stories. And the first person I want to tell you, or a couple I want to tell you about, are Ala and Ali. And the guys from Willowfield will know Ala and Ali. They're in the same life group that Billy's in. Ala came to faith about 18 months ago, She is from Inner East Belfast. She's East Belfast through and through. And Ala had faced significant challenges within her family, and it led her coming on an Alpha course. And through that Alpha course, Ala came to faith. Beautiful story of her coming to faith. But Ala's married to Ali, and Ali is a Muslim. And her coming to faith sent their marriage into a spiral. And there was a point where we thought actually that they were going to separate. I think by the grace of God, that didn't happen. And Ali, who's a Bangladeshi Muslim, turned up at Willowfield in the autumn, early autumn, September, I think it was, at one of our monthly prayer meetings. Our monthly prayer meetings are worship and praying. I mean, it's pretty full on. And there's Ali sitting we split people into small groups sometimes. He's in a small group. And rather than praying, Ali's asking questions about Jesus. And so those guys aren't praying because they're actually doing a mini Alpha course with Ali over here. And Ali comes up to me at the end of that September focused prayer evening and begins to talk to me. He says, I don't want to lose my marriage. I want to know more about Jesus. And so Ali starts going to an Alpha course. And that runs through the autumn. And then I see him again at Focus Prayer, and he's talking to me about wanting to come to faith. And he says, I need to let you know I'm having dreams. And I've had two dreams, and there's a man in my dreams who's dressed in white, and I know it's Jesus, but I've no idea what he's saying to me. What do you think he's saying to me? And so there's more conversation, and there's conversation with me, and there's conversation with John Mina particularly, because John would know Ali and Ala very well. And then on Easter, the Sunday after Easter, Ala and Ali, it's at our 11:30 service, come forward, and Ali, I'm on prayer ministry that day, and Ali says to myself and to the other person in prayer ministry, I want you to save me. And those were Ali's words for, I want to give my life to Jesus. And on that Sunday morning, Ali came to faith. A couple of Sundays ago, I was looking down the church, and there was Ali. Ali always sits at the very back of the church. He could not get further back at Willowfield. So Ali sits there, there's Ali. And Ali has his hands in his chest, his eyes closed, head raised, worshiping the Lord. I'm going to tell a story about Sammy. Sammy is walking past Willowfield during the week, walks into church, meets one of our staff team. Staff team starts talking to Sammy's probably what? About 20, just out of prison. Yeah, you should tell this rather than me. Come on up, you should tell this. Where's that microphone? I don't know why you're not doing this. So you get a phone call to come down to talk to Sammy. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so he was literally, this was a Tuesday. He literally got out of Hyde Bank on the Monday. His dad sorted him out with some accommodation, bought him clothes, all the rest of it on the Monday. Someone in Hyde Bank who had come to faith and was in Hyde Bank, this person, not Sammy, this person was in for attempted murder. They had come to faith, shared the gospel with Sammy, who knew that he had to respond, but he's from a Hindu background, and he didn't know how to respond to Jesus, but the Spirit was doing something in him. And he just said, as soon as I get out, I'm going to sort this out. So that he got out on the Monday. The Tuesday, he started walking around. He lives a few streets away from us. He started walking around churches, eventually found Willowfield, found Pete on our staff team. Pete talked to him for 45 minutes or so, sent him away with a Why Jesus booklet, prayed with him, and I got his number, was able to meet up with him later that week, and took him for a coffee, and he just had so many questions about life, about God, about the Bible, he's from a Hindu background, but he's never been a professing Hindu. He's just got no basis for religion whatsoever. Born and raised in East Belfast. Sounds like he's been born and like lived as if he was born and raised in East, all that there. So no church background whatsoever, and spent an hour chatting with him about God. He asked me to share my story, did a lot, and I had a Why Jesus booklet with me, and we went through it. And towards the back of it, there's kind of the sinner's prayer. And we just kind of talked through it, and he says, I want to respond. And so he actively said, I want to give my life to Jesus, which is just incredible. A week before this, he was still in Hyde Bank for stuff that he obviously now regrets. But yeah, since then, that was about 2 months ago. Since then, I've met up with him maybe once a week, and he's just so hungry for the Lord, for Scripture. He's been part of a life group already in church, a different Bible study already in church. He's brought his dad, who is a Hindu, he's brought his dad to church, and he's just absolutely captivated by the Lord. And it's honestly, it's only a testimony that Jesus could do. It's got nothing to do with anyone in Willowfield. It's all the glory of God and his life. And yeah, he's going to be, I just believe that he's going to be an evangelist, and he's going to go and change our community, and praise God.
Yeah. Can we say thank you to Daniel? One more story. A lady called Sylvia, and Sylvia ended up at Willowfield at our Sunday evening service, our 7 p.m. service, and she walked in. Sylvia rides horses, spends most of her week riding horses, and so she came straight to church from riding her horse, because in Sylvia's words, she had just been for quite a while, had a deep, deep sense of emptiness inside. And she walked into what would be our welcome area, and our wardens and welcome team had already come into church. The worship had begun, and she's standing outside looking in when one of our church wardens, a guy called Sam Ritchie, spots her. And this is September, so Sam, in East Belfast, you still wear T-shirts and shorts in September. And so Sam looks out, T-shirts and shorts, walks out and says to Sylvia, would you like to come in? And she said, I can't, look at the way I'm dressed. And Sam says, well, look at the way I'm dressed. And so she comes in, and we're talking about Alpha that night. She signs up for Alpha. She comes to Alpha. She comes to faith in the autumn, and she was baptized on Easter Sunday evening. Now those are three stories. Those are our best stories, by the way. You're getting our best. You're not getting all the mess that is Willowfield. That's for another day. When I think about those stories, they are a reminder to me that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, seeking to convince people about Jesus, doing it without our help. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit being here, it's not just within these four walls. Right now, as we speak, the Holy Spirit is at work out there, among those guys playing drums and flutes right now. The Holy Spirit is at work there. He is at work without our help. And when you begin to perceive and see the world through that lens, that changes things. I ask you to think about the space in which you live. Imagine being convinced that those spaces in which you live, that the Holy Spirit is active there. Active there. Imagine that. That the Holy Spirit is actually active there already. Because those three stories, actually the Lord was at work before we ever got involved. So imagine seeing the world through those lenses. And that's what Jesus promises in John 14, 15, and 16, is that the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will be active in the world, convicting people of their need of Jesus. It's happening. It's happening. And here's the second thing, is that he will also want us to be involved in his work. So telling you the story about Ala and Ali, that involved probably a team of 10 people running an Alpha course that involved John Mina, our parish, our community worker. There would have been Gary Simpson would have been involved with that. Gary puts in double glazing for a living. But he's involved with that as well. I'm involved with that. Other people are involved with that. For Sylvia, it was Sam Ritchie, our church warden, Alpha again. We get to be involved with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And what I observe in our people at Willowfield is when they get a taste of the Lord using them, do you know what they want? They want more. They cannot get enough of it. See this guy here? Cannot get enough of it. If you get a taste of the Lord using you in kingdom ways, you'll write a resignation letter and step in and say, I'm all in. There's something about it. And so I want to say to you today, that actually what the Lord wants to do is through His Spirit have you actively involved in kingdom work. That's, and there's nothing better. There really is nothing better. So four quick things before we finish about the spaces in which we live. Four quick things. By the way, I'm going to finish with this, so that if you could just leave that up, that would be great. Thank you. No. The four facts. Awesome. Brilliant. Thank you. Here are four facts about the spaces in which all of us live. Here's the first one. The people that we rub shoulders with, and I'm thinking about people now who aren't Christians, all of them, the vast majority of them, are seeking to make sense of life. All of them are seeking to make sense of life. Most of them are looking for meaning, purpose, and relationship. I would imagine that's true of 95% of the people that we rub shoulders with. Most of them are trying to live their best life, and they're trying to live life as best as they can. Some are doing well, some aren't. Most of them want to make sense of life. And from what my experience has been, are open. Those are the people that populate the space that you work in. Mark is a friend of mine, and he's such a good friend that I've forgotten his surname. What's Mark's name? Mark's surname? Mark from Switzerland. Mark. Mark and Paul and Jones, thank you. Easy surname to forget. Mark Jones. Mark is a senior executive in Nestle. Nestle, we used to work in a church in Central Europe, or in Europe, and the town that we lived in was home to the world headquarters for Nestle. And so you had 3,000 high flyers coming in to work for Nestle. And Mark was a senior executive there. He was brilliant at selling coffee. Absolutely brilliant at selling coffee. He was even better as an evangelist. Because Mark populated our Alpha courses through people at work. Because the people in his work, despite the fact that they were paid a fortune, despite the fact that they were highly professional, were all people who were trying to make sense of life. Wanted their marriages to work. Wanted to be good dad and good mothers. And that's how Mark would have talked to them. And I'm sure that's true of the spaces in which you work. That's the first fact. Here's the second fact, is that sin, evil, and death are also at work in the situations that we are in. And I don't need to convince you of that. You just needed to hear what Rebecca shared last night and what Billy honestly shared today. Sin, evil, and death are at work in the spaces where we find ourselves as well. But here's the thing. They don't have to have the last word. Sin, evil, and death do not have to have the last word. They tried to defeat Jesus. They couldn't. Yes, he died, but he was raised to life again. He has the last word. He has the last word over sin, evil, and death in the places where we work. They do not have to have the last word. Here's the third fact. when we walk into those spaces in which we live, we are not alone. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? The Lord is here inside the church, yes? Or everywhere. So I wonder, when you go into work on Monday morning, I dare you to say this, maybe not too loud. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Bangor Grammar, primary schools, hospitals. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Walk into the places where you live with the conviction that the Holy Spirit is already at work there. You are not alone. You are not alone. He is with you. You are not alone. My pages are everywhere. I had a fourth thing to say. Just give me a minute to find them. Yeah. And the final one is this. Is that not only is he at work, but he longs to work with you, through you, in those spaces. That is why Jesus says to his disciples, yes, I'm leaving, but it is to your advantage that I leave, because he is sending the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's Jesus making a promise to all of us. Do you believe that? I dare you to believe it. I double dare you to believe it. That the Holy Spirit longs to work through you, in the spaces where you live and among the people there. John 14, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Dwelling in you to make you like Jesus. Dwelling in you to make you holy. Dwelling in you to guide you into all truth. Dwelling in you to work through you. John 15, 26, he will bear witness of me. And he longs to do that through you. I think the Holy Spirit longs to make Jesus attractive to the people in the spaces where we live. And he longs to do that through us. I said at the beginning, I would love us to finish our time together by asking that the Father would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit once again. And the way that we're going to do that is our prayer ministry teams will be here, and they're probably going to be available individually. And if you would like that to be prayed over you into the spaces where you live, then our team would love to do that. And we're going to do that during our final time of worship together. So if I could ask our band to come forward, and then to ask our prayer ministry teams to come forward, to be over here and over here. And the prayer ministry team will very, very simply just put a hand on your shoulder and just simply say, Father, please fill Daniel afresh with your Holy Spirit. To be with him and to work through him in the spaces where he lives. And if that is for you, then during the worship, please come out of your seats, and if you're in the middle of a row, use your elbows to ease your way out. And this might be just that sort of walk of moving out of your row, walking up to the prayer ministry team, is also almost an act of faith where you're saying to the Father, I want this. This is what I want more than anything else. So why do we stand together? And let me pray. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he is at work in Bangor and in East Belfast. Thank you that he's at work on the Irish Peninsula. Thank you that he's at work in Northern Ireland, in this island of Ireland, in the UK, in Europe, around the world. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is at work making Jesus attractive to people. And we want to be part of that. So, Father, would you please fill us afresh and fill us with the gifts that we need and the abilities that we need to partner with the Holy Spirit in making Jesus attractive to people. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And so, let us worship together. And if you'd like that prayer prayed over you, then we're here either side.